It is Austin. Austin Price, VolQuest.com. Time for the VolQuest report here on the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Austin, how are you?
Are you throwing me a couple of price wisers, and I'm giving the stunner to Paul today?
Yeah, it's a lot of foam. A lot of foam that you have to chug.
How much of that beer does he actually consume when that's going on? It's just like, all over the place.
About 10%. I mean, that's part of the charm is when it rolls down his face, you know?
Yeah. All those Steve Weisers. That's right. Hey, how much celebration, and I truly mean celebration, is going on in Knoxville when they hear that Greg Schiano is out at Ohio State?
Honestly, I've seen a few things on Twitter today, but I think Tennessee fans are so focused on this basketball team and trying to figure out who their offensive coordinators are going to be that they're not super worried about Greg Schiano or really any of the other happenings like the national championship game later tonight.
Tell that to Dan Wolkin's Twitter account right now. I would say Tennessee
Dan's
fans
different.
Care.
Dan's different. They care, but like you don't see them like just tweeting. They're tweeting at Dan Wolkin.
Well, that's true. Like, yeah.
And that's because Dan Wolkin brought this on himself with how he's reacted every time something's come about. So, you know, that's a little different than just like this random tweets.
Austin, is there anything that leads you to believe this offensive coordinator search will be over by week's end?
Just because, I mean, I think Jimmy Pruitt wants to get it done before they go back out on the road as a full staff. I mean, if it carries on past that, then, you know, I think that, I know that, you know, Coach Pruitt has told some people he's I'm not in a rush, you know, I want to get this thing right, and I get it, but I mean, like, there has to be a little bit of urgency. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you're going back out on the road recruiting. You're trying to, you know, recruit George Pickens, a five-star wide receiver from Hoover High School in Alabama. And I don't think George is, you know, even going to visit here unless Tennessee's got some semblance of a direction on the offensive side. And telling a guy, well, we're going to hire somebody that scores points. Well, let's hope so. You know, I mean, I think that ultimately it gets done by the end of the week. And, you know, because it just makes sense for it to get done by the end of the week. With coaches going back out on the road in the end of the dead period.
Is there a possibility T. Martin ends up on this coaching staff?
I think that's possible. You know, I know Coach Pruitt and T, and you know they've spoken. You know, Chris Lowe talked about it last night on the Nation. We had it in the war room on Friday. I don't know if it's for the offensive coordinator role, but I do think that, you know, there could be some staff shakeup or there is some potential for staff shakeup just because, you know, you see movement everywhere, really across the board, across college football this time of year, especially after that second signing period. You know, and if something opened up on the offensive side, I think T. Martin could coach a number of different positions and would be a home run hire because he can recruit. He can sell this place just like Terry Fair can because they wore the orange jersey. So it makes sense. If everything lined up and T. Martin could be a part of the staff, you would have him be a part of the staff. And I think it makes sense for T. I think, you know, he's got privately some people that he trusts telling him, listen, you've got, you know, Maryland, you've got Louisville, you know, Georgia Tech was, you know, flirting with you. You've had some interest out there and you could land one or two of those spots. But doesn't it make more sense to go back home, you know, and find kind of your footing? I mean, he was at USC 2010. You know, Lane hired him there after he left in the middle of the night, here. So it just makes some sense to kind of get your footing. And if he's going to do it, perfect place to be here if Jeremy Pruitt has an opening.
A little bit of a sense that he was scapegoated a little bit at SC?
I think that, you know, he's probably a little motivated. You know, a little motivated to prove that he's more than everybody's making him out to be. And then I think, you know, a year removed from all that happened with this head coaching search, Paul, I think that a lot of, you know, wounds have healed. His tweet the other night said a lot to me because I think it told you, one, there's some legs to all that chatter out there about T in Tennessee. And then, two, you know, that time has healed some wounds because, you know, he would not have tweeted that about Tennessee the last year. But right now, in the situation he's in, you know, he's looking for allies. And while, you know, there are some fans that remember how he, you know, kind of left Butch high and dry when Butch wanted to bring him on staff and they kind of got hurt about that, they'll easily forgive the national championship winning quarterback. He'll walk in here and to a ticker tape parade if something happened and Tennessee was able to add him to this staff.
Most likely list, you said Tennessee's about to hit the road in recruiting again. Who are the top guys Tennessee has a legitimate shot at landing? I know you mentioned George Pickens, the wide receiver from Hoover.
I think they'll get him for a visit as long as they have a direction on offense. Just because, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and so many members of his staff were, you know, Hoover. I think it's a tall order to get him, though. I really do. I think you'll have to really impress him. Would really have to, you know, knock his socks off. To land George Pickens. Now, the most realistic is the guy we talked about for like a year and a half, Darnell Wright. You know, I mean, Tennessee's in a great spot with him, Chad. And they're the prohibitive favorite. Chris Russell out of Dyersburg is another one. And then I'm interested to see what happens with Henry To'oto'o. Just because, I mean, how many guys can Alabama take? You know, they had two more at the Army game. I mean, they're over 25. I mean, I just wonder, you know, are they out of numbers? Can they realistically take him, you know, if he wants to come? And, you know, does he really want to go there, or does he want to, you know, does he kind of listen to what Jeremy Pruitt and Brian Niedermeyer have to say and give Tennessee a realistic shot?
While we're sticking on football, before we turn to UT hoops, just football here in general, who do you have tonight between Alabama and Clemson and why?
Alabama. I think Clemson will put up a good fight. I think it may be a year too early for Trevor Lawrence. I think they're the favorites next year. And I know Tua's coming back, and Alabama's got a lot of people coming back. But I think a year from now, Clemson is going to be a year more mature. I just think Lawrence, from freshman year to sophomore year, is going to see a huge jump in his game. But I'll take Alabama by about 9.
How different is this Tennessee basketball team now that you have Jordan Bone playing at this level? If you get a performance like you got from Kyle Alexander or Jordan Bowden offensively,
Yeah. What
level does it take this team to?
You know, I don't think they've reached their full potential, Chad. I mean, you've gotten Lamonte back now. He just got such a spark off the bench with his ability to score the basketball, and he helps spell Jordan Bone getting the ball up the floor, which means Bone's, you know, fresher later in games. I think they can take it to a whole nother level. And you're right, when you add, you know, with Grant and Admiral, and you add Bone as that number three piece, and then when you get those contributions, you know, sometimes it's Fulkerson, sometimes it's Bowden, sometimes it's Eve Pond, sometimes it's a lot of different guys. They are just near, I won't say unguardable, but they're just so tough to defend because they can beat you a number of different ways. They're deep. I think the greatest compliment you can give this basketball team, Chad, they may not do anything great, but they do nothing poorly. I mean, like, they don't have I wouldn't call it a weakness. I mean, maybe if you're going to nitpick, and I wouldn't even call it a weakness, maybe they can have a little bit better depth in the paint. But I think this team is just really, really deep and just very, very skilled.
I'm amazed watching the start of that game, even when it was 11-10 Tennessee early on, then they reeled off, I believe, a 41-14 run before the end of the first half. The ability to just give it to Grant Williams, and it is guaranteed to be a foul on the opposition, or he's going to score it almost every time down. They had four fouls on Claxton before the end of the first half, because he was down there guarding Grant Williams. It's amazing to watch that team's ability to draw fouls and also finish for an and one a lot of times.
Well, it just shows you, you know, when you teach proper technique and he gets in the right position and uses his body and you know, uses his position, you know, to his advantage, it doesn't matter how tall you are. It doesn't matter how long your arms are. I mean, all that can help. But look at a guy like Grant Williams. He continues to just do his deal and do it at a high level. And you know, he's not the tallest guy. He's not the fastest guy. But he's just so fundamentally sound and he's so strong that he's incredibly tough to guard for most big men. And, you know, what he does, and when he stays out of foul trouble, which is what he did Saturday, only two fouls against him, it makes it – really hard on the opposition, because if he's out there for most of the game, that means the opposition's likely very much in trouble.
There's a lot of quirks to a college basketball schedule. This is a quirky little trip for Tennessee. They play at Missouri tomorrow at 6 o'clock Central Time, and Missouri hasn't played since December 29th. Tennessee had a day off on Sunday. They have a one-hour practice today, and then they're flying to Missouri to play a game against a team that hasn't played in almost 2 weeks when you look at their schedule or however long it's been. Is this a difficult spot for Tennessee, or are they so much better than Missouri that it doesn't matter?
Well, you know, Rob Lewis and I have had this debate. We had it last night on the TV show in Knoxville. You know, Rob's argument is, you know, Tennessee is, you know, going to have, you know, tired legs and Missouri's rested. My argument is as long as Tennessee keeps playing like they've been playing, it doesn't matter. And then there's a great potential there for Missouri to come out rusty. I mean, they've not been playing. And so I'll go with the rust factor for Missouri. I just think Tennessee wins this game. Maybe they, you know, Konzo's going to dull it down into a slow pace, and it may be low scoring. But I think Tennessee just has enough playmakers and enough shooters that they win this game by, you know, 8 to 10 points.
Austin Price, FallQuest.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Austin Priceless. Appreciate it, man. We'll catch up with you later this week.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yep, Austin Price with us twice a week here on the show.